We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The creative entrepreneurs making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is so much we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt and welcome to Proof to Product. Today we have PaperCamp alumni Rebecca Townsend on the show. She's the owner and creative director behind the beach lifestyle brand Seaside Designs. She manufactures paper products, home goods, fragrance, and soaps, all of them inspired by the sea. On today's episode, Rebecca walks us through her 18-year business journey. She talks about how she pivoted in business and shares how expanding her product lines to include a larger array of gift products really enhanced her lifestyle brand. Hi, Rebecca. Welcome to Proof to Product.
Hi, Katie. Thanks for having me.
I am so excited to chat with you today. As someone that has been in business for 18 years now, you've experienced several waves of success, of transition, you know, just in your life and your business. And you've shifted in a lot of ways in terms of the products you've sold. And I'm excited to dive into all of that today with you. But first, I want to start by talking about one thing that has stayed true from the start for you, and that is your brand identity. So let's start off in telling people about Seaside Designs. What do you make? Who is it for? And what is the why behind your brand?
Okay. Well, Seaside Designs, I call it a beach lifestyle brand. It's a collection of products, including paper, greeting cards, wrapping paper, soaps, home fragrance products, perfumes. It's all designed to work cohesively together, and it's for a specific person. Actually, it's for a lot of people. For people who love the coast and the beach. And I really have yet to encounter somebody that doesn't. So
it is my happy place for sure.
Yeah. My tagline, which I use on a lot of my products and branding and social media, is made on Cape Cod with summer sun, salt air, and East Coast aloha. So it kind of gives you an idea of my vibe and the products, what I want to convey with my products.
That's awesome. Has your vision for the brand ever shifted, or has that really been constant through the fluctuations within your business?
It's been constant for sure. When I first started my company 18 years ago, the sea has always inspired me. And from the very beginning, the very first product I designed and created for, quote, the masses or whatever, was an ornament made with sea glass. Okay. And which you find on the beach. So right from the get-go, I was inspired by the sea, growing up by the sea. It just was a natural evolution for me to start creating products that I love. And of course, I thought everyone else would love them too. So it was just one of those things. I started one year at Christmas. I made these ornaments with these swirls of silver wire and a big hunk of colored sea glass. And I said, hey, I'm going to bring them to a craft show, try it out. Sold out. Everyone loved them. And then I gave them this Christmas present that year and everybody loved them. So my wheel started turning. And that winter, I spent that time sort of dreaming up new products, thinking about other things that I could create that would complement those weird little ornaments. But always, always sea inspired, always that beachy feel was right from day one, for sure.
So aside from the glass charms and the necklaces, what was the next evolution of your product mix?
So it was actually soap back then too. It really was. I started making soap and just beachy scents again, things called like island, like I have now. I brought these things all the way back from then, but soap. And then I also did some other like hand lotions and things like that. Just kind of weird stuff. I never created a lot of anything, just kind of what I wanted to make. And greeting cards were in that mix as well. I did just a cute little, like, I'm so embarrassed about it now thinking back, like clip art and, you know, Joker Man font and all these weird, silly things. And thinking back now, it was just so funny, but I just made what I wanted to. And yeah. I didn't think too much about it. I just kind of created and it all worked. It kind of snowballed. I did more craft shows that following year, and a couple local retailers found me in those shows and talked about wholesale. And at that point, I had never done any wholesale. So that was kind of a whole new beast for me. But I'm a research junkie, so I never jump into something quickly. I really researched the background of it. I researched wholesale as much as I could. I mean, social media was basically non-existent in the early 2000s. So it was a lot of, you know, talking with friends that, you know, I met at shows, things like that. And it just kind of took off. It was really kind of a crazy time. It totally word of mouth. And because I'm so crazy and can't sit still, I had to make, like I said, all the things.
Yeah.
I expanded to include things like hand-painted pillows and table linens and sea glass jewelry, more greeting cards for sure, crazy amount of home decor stuff, soaps, candles, all of it. Like I was all of it. Insane. So I started going to the Boston Gift Show, which is now no longer. I did that for about 4 years and got a really great wholesale stash of buyers locally, mostly in New England. Yeah. It was a great local show to start and get my feet wet. It was, you can probably see what was coming. It was great, but then I got incredibly burned out because I was doing it all on my own. My mom helped me a bit, but it was too much. It was too much. I couldn't sustain that. And then at the same time, I went through a hard divorce, had to sell my home, basically recreate my life. So I closed up my business for the most part around 2010 because I had to get a full-time job kind of to make ends meet. So it just, it wasn't feasible at that time. For a while there, I wasn't creative at all. I got incredibly sad. I missed being creative and it just about killed me. So that transition time though, made me realize I could never not make something. I always I just had to make smarter. So I spent a few years planning, plotting, designing, and trying to figure out how to bring Seaside Design back and better than ever, but without killing myself in the process.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was listening to your story and I know your story because I've worked with you in the past. What you were trying to accomplish with so many products and doing them, you know, in a handmade component or outsourcing pieces and all alone. Yeah. I mean, that's a huge undertaking.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, as hard as it was for you to take a break, I do think it gave you a refreshed, renewed perspective and gave you maybe prioritizing in a different way than you had seen before. And I don't know.
I'm 100%. Yes, 100%. It really was sort of an awakening moment for me, an awakening time, sort of, reevaluating everything. Right. And just, I knew I needed to continue. I knew I needed to do that.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what that looked like just yet.
Well, and I'm so glad you did. You and I met, I know. You and I met in 2015 when you attended the Paper Camp Conference. And I remember you telling me that you were looking to infuse new energy into your brand. You were looking for new strategies to bring creative things to market, but streamline the inventory process, streamline the production process and all of it. Do you feel that the conference and our community has helped you do that?
For sure. For sure. When I attended Trade Show Boot Camp in September of 15, I had my goal of exhibiting at the stationery show the following May, stationery show. So I was going to focus just on paper. I thought it was going to be, it would be less overwhelming to me. It was, you know, one sourcing would be easier rather than all these things, you know. It was just, it just made a lot more sense to try to just focus on one category. So when I went to boot camp, everybody there, incredibly supportive, first of all, but it was so inspiring and I knew I was going in the right direction. It felt right. It felt all right. So I was ready to roll for the stationery show in spring of 16.
Yeah.
And of course, meeting me, I had to have 80 SKUs of cards,
overachiever.
12 gift wrap designs, boxes, card, box notes, gift tags, all of it. Like, it's just, I can't. It's my, I don't know if it's a good or horrible personality trait of being all in, but that's who I am.
I like it.
So yeah. But the stationery, it was great. It was fantastic. The feedback I got was wonderful. I just couldn't have asked for sort of a better launch back into that gift world that I loved being in so much, but knowing the changes I needed to make, knowing what I needed to do to keep myself afloat,
right?
Not afloat financially necessarily, but afloat like mentally. Like I was really happy with how that whole transition went, and I was super glad to have the help from everyone I met through you.
So, you know, was it after NSS that you started to get an itch to add other things back in? Because, you know, we're talking about like, okay, we're streamlining and you focused on paper, but even within the paper category, you really did do quite a bit of SKUs in a different product mix. But then like, as you said early on in the interview, like you're getting back to your roots now with soaps and perfumes and candles and all of the things. At what point was that after NSS? Because then you went on to do New York Now, correct?
Yes. Yes. So it was that year following NSS. It was that fall and holiday season. I had signed up to do a bunch of craft shows, again, local shows, and I had all my paper goods there. But I said, why not? Why? I had all the supplies. I had all the stuff, you know, and why not? So it was really kind of crazy. I sat down after that holiday season and looked at my numbers, looked at my records. And I'm like, wow, this category, you know, as much as I love the smell of paper, my customers seem to love the smell of my soap and perfume better. So I kind of, again, took that time to research and develop and work smarter, not harder. And developed a whole line of soaps. And I didn't even have the perfumes at the time, but the soaps. And I did launch those the following year at NY Now. And yeah, the rest is sort of history with that. I mean, it just, that was a huge transition to me that when my soap and fragrance products took the top spots, and just 5 years prior, I was just all paper all the time. So it broke my paper loving heart a little bit.
No, it's an evolution, and exactly. It's all complimentary. And these other products are really for the same audience. I don't know. I could go on and on about how smart I think this was for you, but.
And that's what happened is when I started offering all these products together, buyers would really, like, I was concerned about cross-selling, like how would I get everything into people's vision? And I found buyers buying sort of a collection of things and making these beautiful displays, and just because everything was really cohesive. I designed it that way. Like, my color palette is cohesive between my cards and my soap packaging. I even use some of the same imagery on all the products. So that's how I designed it. It works well together. And my buyers saw that and sort of showcased the whole brand, like what I was trying to do, develop this beach lifestyle brand. And that's how it's sort of evolved. And that's what it continues as to this day.
That's awesome.
And another big, like, huge turning point was when I introduced perfumes to the mix. I made 6 fragrances in these beautiful roller bottles, slapped a picture up on Instagram, and the next thing you knew, it was insane. And people just loved that idea of smelling like the beach, like you just came off the beach for the day. And that's exactly what I wanted to do. That's exactly the feeling I wanted my customers to have, was that you smell it and it brings you back to the beach, or brings you to that vacation, or those happy times.
Since I love then. That.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay. Yeah. Can we dive a little bit into the weeds here? I want to talk about the whole product development R&D process with you. How did you decide which products were the right ones to bring on? What kind of factors were you weighing?
Well, first was basically, can I do this? Is this something that I can make? Okay. The answer is yes. Then I look at materials. I look at cost. I look at what else there is out there. Mm-hmm. A lot of trial and error, a lot of giving things away to friends and family to test. And what do you think of this? What do you think of that? But honestly, local shows, the smaller retail shows, were sort of my barometer in deciding what, if it did well there, I knew it would do well elsewhere. So I kind of used that as a gauge as to what to launch wholesale.
Okay. Adding multiple SKUs in different product categories, it can be really challenging. Mm-hmm. How did you balance the financial risk with expansion?
I honestly, this is probably not the answer you want to hear, but I didn't think much about it. I sort of just jumped in. And if my margins were good, if I knew it could sustain itself as a product, then I did it.
Did you do small runs to start, or did you dive in pretty large?
So, I definitely started out with smaller runs. I still create everything in-house. I've never outsourced manufacturing ever.
Not anything? Nothing you've outsourced?
I have a local printer that prints my cards, and that is it.
Okay. Yeah. I knew you were a one-woman show, and I wanted to get to that in a few minutes of how you built this brand solo. But I did not realize that you were like hand-making and doing all these things.
Everything. Yep.
Wow. That's impressive.
Pretty crazy. I know. It's pretty crazy. And I have help for sure.
No.
But everything is designed and manufactured in-house.
Okay.
And shipped right from Cape Cod. Yep.
True to the brand.
Okay. Absolutely.
Well, what benefits have you seen through widening your product mix? I know we talked about you reached a wider audience. You're able to, like, it sounds like buyers are buying deeper into your products because they're able to kind of merchandise a whole collection on the shelves. What mm-hmm. other benefits are you seeing from the expansion?
Exposure, certainly, whether it's social media or just expanding into other regions of the country. It's kind of funny because when I started this brand, I'm thinking, okay, only people that live on Cape Cod or, you know, live on the beach are going to want to buy this because somebody that lives in Indiana doesn't live on the beach. So it's not going to appeal to them, but it's crazy. It appeals to everyone. And so it's kind of become like I said in the beginning, this beach lifestyle brand that everybody loves, whether you're landlocked or not.
Rebecca, I totally understand what you're saying though about it appealing to other people, because there is that scent memory, right? Of people that mm-hmm. are going to remember their vacation or have some sort of positive memory of something that your scents and your perfume and your candles remind them of, right?
Yes. In fact, actually just this last week, I had a customer email me. She had purchased one of my perfumes in a store near her in Oregon. And she took it with her to Mexico, and she got back from Mexico. She used it all up in Mexico, and she emailed me and she's like, I have to have like a dozen of these because it just brings me back to that amazing vacation that I had. And every time I smell it, it makes me think of that and Aww. It makes me happy. And that was just like the best thing I've heard, you know, just that's what I want to do is I want to create this feeling sort of that people have when they use a product of mine. And
yeah.
She hit the nail on the head when she said it. Just that's her happy place perfume. So
that's awesome. Okay, you mentioned social media is how you are doing majority of your marketing. How are you leveraging? Yeah. Are you using Instagram stories? Are you using just posts? What tactics are working for you right now?
Yes, Instagram is definitely my number one way of marketing for sure. Facebook and Twitter too, but I don't really ever post directly on those. I use Instagram almost exclusively. Yeah. I feel like Instagram and stories, it's hard. I struggle with it because I am such a person behind the camera, and I know I have to get in front of it once in a while, but it's really, really hard. And I know customers like to see that, what's going on behind the scenes. And I'm a bit shy when it comes to that kind of thing. Yeah. So regardless, yes, definitely Instagram has become an amazing marketing tool, reaching all the corners of the country and all these customers and people all looking for the same, you know, for that feeling that, you know, that hashtag beach or whatever it is that I'm using that day for a post. And it's really, I love it. It's really quite fun to meet, quote unquote, meet people, you know, online. And actually I take a lot of cues from some people online as well. Like, you know, oh, have you ever made a a soap that smells like this, or what about this? And you write those things down, you test them out. You know, I love that. I love getting feedback and ideas. It's a lot of fun. I think it's a blast. I really
yeah, it's
enjoy
very
talking to.
It's engaging. You can connect with your mm-hmm. customers. You can connect with potential customers. It sounds like you're also using social media to both connect with the retail side of your customer base as well as the wholesale side. Is that correct?
For sure. If I send an order out to a store, I'll tag them, things like that. It's like a big spider web, you know, that it all connects. And it's been great. And like I said, back when I first started, way back when, we had nothing. I don't even remember. Gosh, I wasn't on Facebook for sure. I don't remember anything. So it was a whole new, when I relaunched sort of to the world, that was a whole learning curve too, learning the ins and outs of social media, because I'm not a spring chicken, but it was interesting. It was really, it's quite a remarkable tool.
I started my business in 2008, so not as early as you did, but I agree. That's why trade shows were so popular back then, because that was our face-to-face time with people and we could connect with colleagues and here's what I learned and here's what I'm teaching. You know, it wasn't, and then it was Twitter that was a place where I was hanging out. And that's where I met most of our original boot camp speakers, now Paper Camp. And, you know, and it definitely has evolved over time in terms of the marketing strategies people are using, how they're reaching out and marketing to their different customers. And it's just been really fascinating to watch and see.
Well, that certainly, it brings me to one thing that I have found to be so important. I grew up with my dad. My dad was a photographer and he owned a photography studio, and I worked there for many years when I was a teenager. And the number one thing he always, always impressed on me was customer service. And the more we are behind a screen, the more we have to focus on that, because we're not having those face-to-face interactions anymore necessarily. And I do feel that nothing is more appreciated than good customer service. So
I 100% agree. Customer service and building those relationships in business. That's what continues to allow our businesses to grow, right?
100%.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, what advice do you have for business owners who are considering new product categories, but they're kind of unsure how to like stretch themselves and maybe they're nervous about different things? What do you want to tell them?
Two things, really. Nothing can replace hard work, the research, the time, the energy. If you're passionate about your products and business, that's the fun part. Like figuring out what works for you, not worrying about what works for everyone else, doing and finding your own answers. Nothing is cookie cutter. All the information you could possibly want is out there. It's just finding it and finding what works for you.
Yep.
Nothing can replace the education you get from good old research and taking a deep dive into everything you want to create and do with your business. And my second thing is, you be you. When I was getting ready to launch at the stationery show, I thought like everyone it seemed like was doing gold foil on cards and it was everywhere. So I thought, well, I have to do gold foil too. And as it turns out, I didn't have to do gold foil at all. So what I did instead was add tiny bits of glitter embellishments to my cards. It added sparkle in a different way. And it was something that was affordable and doable and unique to me. So that's sort of the advice I have when it comes to anything that you're like, if you're launching a new business or launching a new product, see what's out there, do the research, but do it your way. Do what you want to do. Don't do necessarily what you see, but do what you want to do and make it yours and make it unique.
Biggest takeaway, be unique. I love that. Yeah. All right. Well, what's next for you in Seaside Designs? What do you have coming up?
I have some new fragrance products on the horizon.
Yay.
So things that'll enhance what I already have, some like room sprays and, you know, home fragrance products. And my biggest thing that I'm focusing on is sustainability with my packaging. Living on the ocean, it's huge. We our town has outlawed straws, plastic bags, everything. Plastic is going to be, yes. Oh, so I actually just sourced these brand new compostable cello wraps for my soap, trying to go entirely plastic free
Nice.
And yeah, so it's little adjustments like that that are a huge focus for me, but it's one that's appreciated by my customers and appreciated by the earth. So that sustainability factor is very, very important to me and one I want to continue doing, and I hope others do too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's been a hot topic in our alumni Facebook group
too. Yeah. Yes. 100%.
Yeah. All right. Well, where can people find you online to check out all of your amazing products?
Well, my website is seaside-designs.com, and on Instagram and Facebook, it's at Seaside Designs.
Awesome. We will include that in the show notes so everybody can find you quickly and easily. Rebecca, thank you so much for your time today and sharing your process of growing your product line and just the transitions you've had throughout the years. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Katie, so much. I appreciate you and all that you've done.
Thank you. Hey friends, last year we conducted a survey of our approved product listeners, our Paper Camp alumni, and even our general audience on social media. And we asked them, what are you guys struggling with? What do you want more of? And how can we serve you better in 2020? And one of the things that resonated in the responses was people wanted community. They wanted connection and they wanted trainings that were in more bite-sized pieces. And so instead of investing in a larger course or, you know, attending a conference that had multiple topics and multiple days, they wanted things that they could leverage throughout the course of the year and were kind of in smaller bits and pieces. And so we have been working hard behind the scenes to create a new community experience called Proof to Product Labs. And you guys, I am so excited about this. It is really leveraging all of the things that I love about our Paper Camp community, but we're doing it for a wider audience. So this will not be focused just for stationery businesses. It will be for any product makers. This will not be focused solely on selling wholesale. We will keep that in Paper Camp. So if people still need it, they can get it. But labs will be focused on strategy and business operations, hiring people, finances, all of the things that go into running our businesses on a day-to-day basis. And I'm excited because we're going to be bringing in guest experts for live trainings. I'm going to be doing office hours. We'll have community leaders that are chiming in with panels for their expertise. It's going to be an amazing thing. And I invite you to join our waitlist at prooftoproduct.com/labs. We'll be sharing more information as it's available, but right now head over and join that waitlist if you're interested in getting in on our founders rate and being one of the 100 founding members. Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Head on over to prooftoproduct.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover free resources to help you build your product-based business. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks again.